Hello and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League podcast. I am Josh and I'm here with a cold recovering Brandon.
Yeah, do I sound like a haggard Premier League manager on the sidelines, just like yelling at my really poor defensive lineup?
Yeah, you sound a little bit like Steve Bruce, maybe. I'm not actually sure if Steve Bruce even has a haggard voice or if he just seems like he'd have a really haggard voice. I think his voice is, it's like normal, right?
Now, to me, Steve Bruce probably has a really high-pitched, whiny voice.
We heard him yelling in the sidelines, actually. There was that
yelling at Yelovich, right? Going, Yella.
And then Robbie.
Well, I'll tell you what, Josh, a lot has happened over the course of the last few days. We had a failed attempt to record this episode.
That's true.
Then I got very sick.
That's true.
I had a lot of fever dreams as well, which I think it was all fortuitous because the fever dreams I have, I think, will benefit us as we go through this episode.
Talked with the shaman, sort of like Wayne in Wayne's World 2, right? He like went.
Exactly.
It was Jim Morrison, actually, who you talked to.
No, it was a buck naked Emmanuel Adebayor that I saw walking through the desert.
So we're recording this a little later in the week than usual. We've seen two League Cup semifinals take place, slightly controversial, and certainly an important one from a fantasy perspective in the Man City Everton match. I suppose they both are, and we also know what teams are not going to be playing in game week 27 now, which is the League Cup final. So lots to talk about, lots to recap. I think because it's coming a little later in the week, I think we're going to focus less on the recap and more on the looking forward.
I'm curious to see how my voice is going to sound by the end of this. You know, usually we go for about 3 hours, so.
Yep.
We'll see if I even have a voice at the end of the
talk. See, this is, I'm taking over the hosting duties today, and so I'm going to make this a tight hour and 5 minutes. I'm going to keep it under an hour and 5 minutes. That's my
I'm pledge. Such a slack host. I let you get away with murder. I don't expect you to let me do the same.
Exactly. So let's get right into it. First off, there is a question from El Magico, who asks, captaincy for game week 24, leave it on Aguero, or do you like any other strong option? And I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to talk for both of us here, Brandon, just to make it easy and say,
please
just
do.
Captain Aguero, keep Captain Aguero. As long as he's healthy, you should be Captain Aguero. If you don't have Aguero, you should bring him in. And the reason this question is at the top of the podcast is because this is the last time I want to talk about Sergio Aguero for the rest of the podcast. Every single podcast spends
a particular reason.
Well, I just feel like, you know, there are a fair amount of soccer podcasts out there, Premier League or fantasy or anything, and all they're doing is talking about Sergio Aguero for 30, 40, 50 minutes at a time. And
even the podcasts that are just like Sergio Aguero fan podcasts,
even those are the worst offenders.
Exactly.
And so I just think that it's nice to why don't we talk about things that don't involve Sergio Aguero? And so I don't even want to use his name for the rest of this podcast. I think we should go with something really basic. I like John Doe. Like
John
a good
Doe.
Flat, yeah, like a missing person, right? Just like a simple generic name, like John Doe. So if you catch me saying Aguero, or if I catch you saying Aguero, I'm going to correct you right away. We'll try to remove it from the podcast. He's a great player. He's having a great run. They have great fixtures coming up, even though they're off in game week 27. Just bring him in and captain him, right? I mean, let's quit like making this game so hard on ourselves.
Yeah, I know it does spoil a little bit of the fun that we've been having over the last couple of months. A fun is the wrong word to use because I think most of us will continually make the incorrect captaincy choice. But now that Aguero's back firing, it's an easy cut and dry decision.
It's not going to last, so there's no point getting too depressed about it. I mean, he's going to last like 2 or 3 more weeks, right? And then he's going to get a muscle injury and be out for like 2 months. I mean,
trip on an exposed sprinkler head.
Yeah, we've seen through 5 seasons in the Premier League that the guy can't stay healthy. So just enjoy this little run of 6-7 weeks with your $37 million player or whatever his value is up to now, and then just move on. So there we go. No more Aguero. The rest of the podcast,
or John Doe, if you like.
Brandon, how was your mini week? How was your game week?
I can't complain. I mean, thanks to John Doe being an excellent captain choice, I ended up scoring 65 points. And let's take it all the way back to last week's episode of Always Cheating, where I gave the hard sell on Jordan Henderson. I gave it such a hard sell that you almost started recoiling at how strident I was, which made me very pleased that Henderson actually picked up a goal. So yeah. There I got 7 points from him, 13 points from Dele Alli, and a goal from Harry Kane. The biggest disappointment for me was actually the defense. Mm-hmm. Now, Eric Dier subbed off in the 55th minute, so I'm not even going to get 2 points from him. I ended up with one. And then David De Gea foiled at the death by Charlie Austin, who we'll actually come to later in the podcast.
Yeah.
One of the winter transfer window signings we're talking about. So on the whole, I have to be happy with that. It brings my total overall points to an even 1,200. And I've cracked the top 500,000. So
excellent.
Me.
Yeah, making your way up. It was a good game week. It was as good a game week as you could have if you didn't have Aguero or Agallo, I suppose. I'd already said his name.
John Doe, bite your tongue.
John Doe.
We need to come up with a catchier nickname.
Snappier name than that. What do you think? What could we go with?
Slappy. Slash. Yeah, well, it's like the haircut he has. It's kind of got like a Slash lightning bolt in his hair there.
Yeah. All right. We'll go with Slash in tribute to my second favorite member of Guns N' Roses.
After Duff, of course. I was going to say Duff too.
It goes Duff, Slash, Mike, Axel, in that order. I think those are really the four. That's the only way, right? Yeah. It's not like the Beatles. Everyone has their own. Everyone loves Duff the most. Everyone loves Slash second most.
Very much like the Star Wars franchise. We can all rank in order. Like, there's no argument. Okay. All right. Slash it is. So you're without Slash in game week 23.
So it was a pretty solid game week. I mean, I did captain Lukaku, like almost everyone who didn't captain Aguero did. Worked out terribly. He had really a poor game. He missed a million opportunities, and he spent the whole game with his fate, like his hands in his face, basically. And really, just he's in awful form. And it was a reminder that this is unlike every fantasy season that I've played in. This is a season where I really feel like form just trumps fixtures again and again and again and again. And, we saw it. I mean, he's not in good form, and it's not happening. And
without a doubt, I mean, we know he's the ultimate fantasy troll, and his bandwagon just went too far, too fast, and it was bound to come crashing down. But, I mean, we may be getting to this later in the pod, but are we considering dropping Lukaku?
I think you could consider it. I think that if you had the transfers, you wouldn't want to do it this game week, I don't think. They are home to Newcastle. Seems a risky proposition just not having an Everton play. I mean, Everton certainly on their day are capable of scoring 3 or 4 goals.
Right, like as you say, Lukaku had his chances. In week 23. He just didn't put them away.
Yeah, and so Ross Barkley scored in the League Cup, which was encouraging. He did not score, however, in the I actually brought him in for this. I brought him in for it was like a 2-week punt. Basically, I'm planning to bring him in for the Swansea game and the Newcastle game, and then bring him probably right back out. Which I'll definitely do now because they're not playing on game week 27. You know, it seemed like the right move at the time. I dropped KDB, which I guess seems a little prescient now. Sort of takes the pressure off me to have to do that this week. And,
absolutely. That was one of my fever dreams.
Yeah. But getting 2 points from Barkley and then 2 points from Lukaku was hugely disappointing. And I knew that Barkley was a little bit of a punt to begin with because he's out of form as well. But it just, I don't know. I was in the mood for a punt. I talked myself out of Firmino.
Yeah, did I contribute to that at all? I hate to say.
Well, I guess so. I mean, because I was very seriously thinking about it a couple weeks ago, and you were like, get serious. You cannot do that.
but honestly, I mean, he's been such a flaky player all season, and hindsight, I guess, is 20/20. But yeah, who could have predicted that his form was actually going to stick this time around?
Yeah,
and there's still no telling if it will.
Everyone scores 4 goals against Newcastle,
unless you're John Doe or Slash. Unless you're Slash, then you score 5.
So I still had a pretty good game week. I guess I was I think it was 58.
Yeah.
On the game week, which is okay. You know,
average haul was 43, so you're doing well.
Yeah, I had a green arrow 3 weeks in a row, but I obviously could have been a lot better, and not having slash really killed me. So let's move on to the mini league, the always cheating mini league is really not doesn't very impressive. I feel like there's got to be a better phrase for mini league. I guess personal league, home league, something like that. Mini, it sounds too quaint. Mini league.
I agree. It's the Hail Cheaters Super League.
Yes. From now on, let's call it the Hail Cheaters Superliga.
Yeah. And hey, if you're a new listener to the podcast and you want to join our Hail Cheaters Super League, you can still find the league code at our website, alwayscheating.com.
Yeah, that's SUPERLIG, like the Turkish Super League.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's not a mistake either.
So, okay, so the top of the league, here's the top 10, and I have a bone to pick with myself, Brandon, because
you're such a harsh critic of yourself, John.
I am. This is true. In the last podcast, I really mangled the name Owen. In first place is Owen O'Keefe, spelled E-O-G-H-A-N, and I called him Egan O'Keefe. Because I am an ugly American who has clearly not traveled the world well enough to know how to pronounce people's names correctly.
Yeah, so, you're truly an idiot.
So,
and I was so embarrassed for you. I didn't even correct you when you said it that way.
I'm lucky that it wasn't Siobhan O'Keefe, because I think that would have been a tough one. Egan Owens and Siobhan Siobhan are really the two that I really struggle with, the two Irish names. So sorry, Owen. Congratulations. Still number one.
Still number one. Still kicking around up there at the top spot.
Yeah.
Like Leicester City, this guy.
It's an impressive top 10. I mean, just in terms of the points hauls from all these players. So he's in first, still holding on to first, with 76 points this game week. Have a new second and third, which is Sean Kaminsky's Take a Load Off Mane, and Sushant, our boy, Sushant Garg's Pinky and De Bruyne. I wonder if he's going to have to change that now with De Bruyne out for 10
minutes. Now that he's out of the picture, you need a – I don't know. It's such a good team name, though. I hate to lose it.
That is true. That is true.
I mean, one year you actually – your team name was it was Zlatan and PK forever. Wasn't that right?
After this amazing photo of Zlatan and PK, it must be a trick of the light or the camera angle or something. It looks like they are holding each other, like on top of a car, and it's just a beautiful photo. It's really incredible, and they both have these like totally like sequiny kind of like very diesel jeans, circle 2010 or something like that.
But neither of these guys play in the Premier League, and I feel like that was within your limits. So come on, go with De Bruyne. Keep it going.
William C's triple captain Hazard game week one dropped down to fourth. Mohamed Al-Kiassi's Keep Calm and Clem Up is in fifth. Colin Bothwell, our pal, is down to sixth place.
He keeps slipping. Colin does.
He's doing fine. I would happily take sixth place in the Always Cheating Super League. Calvin Chan is in seventh with Turbo Covers Rogers. Keddy Brunvold in eighth. Ron Kane in ninth with Gutfeel. And Fabio Borges, son of the great writer and poet Borges.
Yeah, is, incredible writer.
Yeah, I mean, what a son, too. I mean, to...
love of the Fantasy Premier League to Fabio. And
yeah, he probably took him to some River Plate games back in the day. And Clichy's Clean Sheets, Fabio Borges, they are in 10th place. So a little bit of movement, actually a fairly unchanged top 10 in general.
And the name Clichy's Clean Sheets is looking pretty safe with Kolarov out of the picture with a muscle injury.
That is true. Looking good for old Gail Clichy. All right, so Brandon, let's get to the game week 23 review. Let's make this quick because it feels very long ago already.
It really does. So much has happened from the midweek cup fixtures to looking ahead to the FA Cup games this weekend. So
quickly, a couple things worth talking about here. A couple review topics. A couple hot topics. First one. So interesting match, Norwich Liverpool 5-4. Extraordinary match.
Yeah, one of those amazing terrible matches.
I know it's exciting if my wife is actually paying attention, which she was at the end. She kept saying, "What is happening? What is happening here?" fascinating match, but kind of a dud from a fantasy perspective. Outside of Firmino, I think. I think we learned some things from this match. That Firmino was probably, Firmino's like still actually a little too expensive in some ways. He's a differential for sure, but there's not a lot of value there necessarily.
Yeah, the jury is still out. Like, I still do believe that, he's coming into some form, but he's been enough of a flake this season that I still need to see more for my own benefit.
Yeah.
7.9. It's a bit rich when we're looking at guys like Dimitri Payet at 8.1.
It's a little high, but you know the thing is with KDB now injured for what looks like about 10 weeks, according to him. Someone like Firmino really does stick out. I mean, it's going to shake the template up for sure. I mean, maybe the template in some ways is already getting shaken up because KDB was so disappointing. But you know, his ownership level, not to get too down the De Bruyne road already, but his ownership is still at over 20%.
Yeah.
So a lot of managers are going to be looking to bring in somebody, and that's not necessarily something that people were thinking about going into this weekend. Because if you still held. De Bruyne, you had him for away to Sunderland, home to Leicester. Those aren't fixtures you want to drop him for necessarily.
Yeah, and the more casual manager, now that they see that De Bruyne has been flagged as red in the FPL game, his price is going to start dropping rather quickly.
Yeah, and I wonder if it already had going into this week. I think it's already dropped up 1/10. So it went from 10.8 to 10.7. So, it'll probably, given that the game week doesn't start until next Tuesday, I'm sure he'll drop two more tenths by the time the game week starts.
Yeah, but I agree as far as this game, four to five, nine total goals. You've got eight different goal scorers. So it's hard to say who actually got it right unless you're a Firmino owner. Like, I happily brought in Jordan Henderson, but I'm only getting 7 points from this game.
So let's take this, like, each team. Let's go one team at a time for a second here.
Okay.
So here's what we know. We know that Liverpool's defenders are hugely disappointed, including Mr. Winner of the underlying stats category himself, Alberto Moreno, who still, despite everyone feeling, including me, feeling like he's a great fantasy option, still has exactly one assist and four clean sheets on the season. And we are through 23 weeks. 1-1, 2-1 in the last four game weeks. Did pick up the couple clean sheets in a row, but he had a yellow card in one of them, so he didn't even pick up the bonus points. And then 1-1-1 before that. Yeah, it's the central defense that's really a problem, because you have Martin Skrtel, who's been injured, Dejan Lovren has been coming back from injury, Sakho has been coming back from an injury, Stephen Caulker, who isn't, I'm not even sure why they brought him in, because he's playing between like 1 and 3 minutes a match.
It's
right
a strange
now.
One, and he doesn't even seem like a Jurgen Klopp type of player. Like, he brought Caulker in for a long term.
It's a weird
strategy.
Yeah, it's the career of Caulker is just it's kind of sad to watch. It feels like it's all downhill. I mean, that guy was capped for England, not so long ago, and really a rising star. You know, he was playing for Tottenham, and just never really came together.
That sounds like a really sad, depressing, long-form piece of journalism, the career of Caulker. It's like something you would read in Howler magazine, I think.
Or it's like something like the Guardian would write about, like, a lonely Caulker in like Birmingham or something, right? Yeah. Like the life
you
can
see that picture, that famous meme of sad Keanu Reeves, but instead it's Caulker on a picnic bench eating a sandwich.
So defense is really out right now. I mean, it'd be hard to recommend any of the players on Liverpool at the moment, just given how many goals they're leaking. Their fixtures are actually pretty solid, but I just don't think it's worth the risk or the money. It's not like none of them are cheap. I mean, Moreno's the cheapest at 4.9, and even that's not, it's okay value, but you're just not getting enough for it.
He just had a total out-of-body experience on that penalty as well, so you're not going to be able to trust that he's mentally all there at the moment.
Midfield, like you said, you have Henderson, picked up his first attacking points in quite a while, picked up a goal. Didn't pick up any bonus points, mostly because they were taken by all the other, the multiple goal scorers.
Yeah.
I think only Firmino had multiple goals, but a lot of people had goals and assists.
Yeah.
So Firmino, interesting option, especially if you're looking for a KDB replacement, and maybe you already have Payet, or you just don't believe in Payet, or whatever. 13 and 18 in two of his last three game weeks now. And that's with Leicester, Sunderland, Aston Villa coming up in the next three. So,
I'm coming around.
The issue there, however, is you've got to look at your team and decide whether you can afford to. Are you willing to bring him in only for 3 weeks? Because Liverpool is off. They're off in game week 27. You know, that's something we're really going to have to reckon with. We'll get to this in a little bit, but just to note it while we're talking about it, we're entering game week 24. We'll have three game weeks there's still a chance that we'll see a double game week 25, but it's not confirmed yet. It looks a little unlikely. So
isn't there some issue with if they're going to schedule it that quickly, they basically have to organize local police and traffic and all that sort of thing.
Exactly. So it usually makes more sense to do it a little later. So the four teams that will not be playing in game week 27 that we know are Everton, Liverpool, Man City, Newcastle. So pretty massive group of teams. Yeah. You can even throw Newcastle in there, because if you're wild carding, you could totally load up on Newcastle players.
Yeah.
So there's gonna be lots to talk about once we have those double game weeks, but those are the four teams that are missing players. So, you know, if you were really on the fence between Firmino and Payet, I think the mere fact that Payet's fixtures are a little bit better, and you're not gonna have to replace him or put him on the bench in game week 27 is reason enough to, not bring him in or favor Payet over Firmino.
Yeah, their fixtures in the next four game weeks are just ridiculous. Villa, Southampton, Norwich, and Sunderland. Southampton could prove a little difficult the way they're defending now, but three out of those four are just so tasty.
Yep. Just to close on Liverpool, yeah, Benteke really out of the picture, isn't even starting anymore. Really curious to see if he just gets transferred at the summer, if he moves on somewhere.
I tell you why he will, because he was the one who I think broke Jurgen Klopp's glasses during that pile-on at the end of the game.
Jurgen Klopp hates his glasses. He's constantly taking his glasses off, giving them to the ref, giving them to players.
Is it like a Tom's shoes sort of thing? For every goal that's scored, Klopp gives a pair of glasses to a...
He's always... no one uses their glasses for comic effect better than Jurgen Klopp does.
Yeah.
All right, so moving on to Norwich. Let's not spend too long on Norwich here. Wes Houlihan picked up a goal and an assist in this match. At 4.7, it's very tempting to bring in Houlihan, but the problem with Houlihan is that he's 34 or 35, and gets rested a lot. He's not a full 90-minute player anymore.
He's a very tired man.
I'm not sure. He's certainly good enough to keep playing, but I'm not sure if he'll he's clearly a player who needs to his minutes managed very carefully. And I say that when I say he's 34, you are actually older than Wes Houlihan. So how does it make you feel to hear this? You know, that this is what it's like to have a middle age. I however, am 33, and I have no concerns about this kind of thing. Maybe next year I'll feel differently.
There is one Premier League player that I can name offhand that is older than me, and it's Sylvain Distan. So take that.
So Houlihan, yeah, interesting player, but probably a little risky to bring in, especially because, with lots of teams, with lots of possible open fixtures coming up down the line, I think you don't necessarily want to bring in a player who's not a guaranteed start every week.
Yeah, I do wonder if there's going to be a chemistry that develops between him and Naismith, which seems somewhat apparent during this Liverpool game. And if they can develop that, then I think Houlihan's reason to get playing time is amplified.
Yeah, Naismith is an interesting – Naismith is 5 million. So if you are someone who's still trying to free up money to bring in Sergio Aguero, he could be an interesting option if you're ready to drop a Gallo, which I don't think I'd recommend doing, to be honest. I'm not sure that a Gallo is probably fixture-proof at this point. He may only be fixture-proof because they just got through a run of brutal fixtures, and – it's not so bad for him moving forward. I mean, we see Agallo is home to Chelsea and away to Spurs the next two game weeks, which are tricky. But then they play Crystal Palace, Bournemouth. I don't know. Maybe it could be an option anyway.
Yeah, walk it back, Josh. Walk it back.
I actually am. I'm walking it back. Yeah. So Naismith, Agallo, you know, one of those two options could be interesting if you're interested in having a cheap third forward.
I think for all Hail Cheaters fans out there, there were two big takeaways from this Norwich team. One on the good end of the spectrum and one on the bad. Let's start with the good. Diomirce Mbabakani scored an incredible backheel goal. Looked fantastic.
It felt like it was a good moment for the podcast because we really are the leaders of the Diomirce Mbabakani fan club. And for him to do so, I mean, I think that I actually had to stop retweeting the Mbabakani tweets that were sent our way because it was taking over our feed. There was so much Mbabakani.
You were getting calls from your cable provider saying you didn't have the bandwidth.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they were going to jam me, and my lines weren't going to work.
So then, on the bad end of the spectrum is, of course, our beloved George R. Russell Martin, who just had a nightmare of a game, and yeah. I can't believe they'll let him wear the captain armband for much longer if he keeps playing like that.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah. So go work on your book, do what you're good at, Russell Martin, and we'll love you all the same.
That's right. Second match, Leicester Stoke. Really solid win for Leicester. Not a game that I was even sure they would win. I thought this could be a draw.
Yeah, I agree.
Possibly even a loss for them.
Yeah.
It did help that there were so many injuries, you know. Arnautovic did. Yeah, Arnautovic and
Bojan,
thank you.
I can name the whole Stoke lineup.
They were both out, and you know, Shaqiri's recovered from an injury, so it was maybe not a totally full strength Stoke City, but still a Stoke City team that kept Arsenal scoreless at home the week before, and it felt like the old Leicester City in some ways. We got an assist from Mahrez, a goal from Jamie Vardy. Very fun match. I actually watched this match. It was really entertaining.
It was bittersweet for me because this was my first week without Mahrez or Vardy. I had dropped Vardy a while back along with a lot of folks, but I had swapped Henderson in for Mahrez. So to see Leicester seeming to find their form again, it was a little tough for me to watch. Sort of like a girl I used to date, and she's out there. She still looks good.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. We talked about this actually a little bit of the podcast, but I feel like I actually have a bit of a dilemma right now in terms of, whether I want to drop. I mean, there's an argument to be made for actually keeping Jamie Vardy instead of Romelu Lukaku. I mean, I've got Barkley for that Newcastle match, so I've got a little coverage there.
Right.
Jamie Vardy does not have an open game week 27. In fact, he's home to Norwich in game week 27.
You've got to like that.
Yeah. The problem, however, is that the Liverpool match is very enticing because Liverpool just shipped four goals to Norwich. Yeah. But after that, they're away to Man City and away to Arsenal. And I think there's a reasonable chance that Vardy could not get any attacking points in either of those two matches. So it is tempting, but I think the move is probably just to drop Lukaku in game week 27 for Jamie Vardy. Bring it back in.
Yeah, I would agree with you there.
It's a good reminder that when you think about dropping a player, you know, when you debate two different options, there's a tendency to look a little further ahead than you really need to, because there's no law that says you can't bring them back in like 3 weeks later, you know? So yeah. Do I want Vardy for game week 27 or game week 28? I do. I mean, it's home to West Brom in game week 28, but I can just move Lukaku into Vardy in game week 27.
Right. Which is easier for you to do than to move Vardy into Lukaku.
Exactly. And so there's no point in me holding on to a player who I don't want to play for 3 weeks in a row if I can just bring him in later. You know, right. it's one of the beauties of the non-rotisserie format is I can have whoever.
Sorry, Steven, if you're out there listening, our rotisserie buddy.
As far as Stoke goes, I don't think there's much to say about this match. It was.
I think it's just kind of a blip, right?
Just kind of a blip. A lot of injured players. Could have been guilty of looking ahead to the League Cup semifinal as well. I'm not sure it's a match that they're going to lose a lot of sleep over, though.
No, certainly not. I'm sticking with Glenn Johnson for the time being, who I started this weekend. And he's the one for me where I feel like he's my defender that has the most points imminent. So I'm going to sit tight with Glenn Johnson until he actually delivers a goal or an assist for me.
They kept a clean sheet. They kept a clean sheet for 120 minutes against Liverpool. That was now that is a game they're going to lose some sleep over. That was a tough one. They lost. For anyone who didn't see, they lost in the League Cup on penalties. Joe Allen, who suddenly can't stop scoring crucial goals, scores the game-winning penalty. Jack Butland, for greatest goalkeeper he is, as great a goalkeeper as he is, not a great penalty stopper, apparently.
Interesting. He looked a little out to lunch on that Jamie Vardy goal. I mean, Vardy had a great touch to put himself into that open space, but Butland kind of came off his line and put himself in no man's land.
That's true. It was a great finish, though. I mean, he rounds the keeper, I think players without his goal scoring instincts would not have scored in that situation. They would have tried to find someone to pass it to. I mean, it was a very tight angle that he scored in. I may
be being a bit harsh. Yeah, but Joe Allen, do we need to circle back to Liverpool and do a whole Joe Allen bit?
No, it's been done. All you have to do is go to Twitter and look up the Welsh Zavi, and you'll see. Oh my God, Zavi! Jeez, I really am. My mispronunciations are getting worse.
That sounds like Welsh, a magician.
I guess is it that the words are tough to say together? I don't know. The Welsh Zavi.
There you go.
Yeah, I had to make my hand to a fist in order to say that. Steady myself for it. All right, so Arsenal-Chelsea is the third match we wanted to talk about. Again, I don't know what to say about this match, other than that Arsenal is in their annual late winter swoon. This happens every year without stopping. I read an article that Jonathan Wilson wrote in The Guardian this morning. He was talking about the rise of the unstable league table and why we're seeing things the way they are this year. And, you know, he said Arsenal is actually basically level on points with where they were last year. It's just that everyone else is doing so much worse that it looks like Arsenal is having this breakthrough season.
Right.
But if this were, you know, a normal season, they would actually be 7-8 points off the lead.
Right.
So, you know, they're doing exactly what they always do. They're on
pace. I think people are catching on,
exactly
though.
As many points as they always do.
People are catching on, though. Like, if they had not taken just two from their last possible 9 points, they would be well at the top of the table. And now their Arsenal-ness is so much more exposed because they're blowing an actual chance to win the league.
Yeah, it was an amazing game. It was suicidal defending from Per Mertesacker. And it's too bad we don't have the recording from the last podcast, because I think we spent like 15 minutes talking about Per Mertesacker. And just sort of going through what in the world he was thinking. I mean, you have a world class, like possibly top 10 in the world goalkeeper behind you in Peter Cech. Right. Certainly top 10 given the form he's in this season.
Yeah.
Who has made a series of fantastic point blank saves this season. Yeah. Most recently at home to Newcastle 3 weeks before. Yeah. Or so. And instead he takes him out, and it doesn't matter if Costa dove. I mean,
no, I agree.
Any Jamie Vardy would dive there. Anyone dives in that situation.
Yeah.
And you know, he sold it, but
the tackle was reckless enough to warrant it.
And just for him for the captain to lose his mind like that, I guess he wasn't the captain for some reason. Like, it's the same logic that allows Theo Walcott to take corners. Theo Walcott was captain this game week.
Yeah, why not give a armband to somebody who's wildly out of form and is going to blow yet another opportunity to
drifts in and out of games.
I mean, what's more suicidal than the actual challenges was Mertesacker's positioning there. And that's the thing that kind of drives me nuts about Wenger continually sort of bringing Mertesacker into the starting lineup, is he's so slow. And the more seasons go by, the worse his positioning gets. You think the slower Mertesacker gets, he'll offset that by having better positioning. But he's just playing above Costa.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I he can't keep up with world class strikers anymore. And you know, Gabriel is playing a little more now, and I think that by next year, I think we'll see Gabriel as a starter, and Mertesacker will be more like a very reliable fifth player. You know, third defender, basically third central defender. You know, doesn't make a big difference from a fantasy point of view, I'd say. Mertesacker is not the player I'd want on that team. I think Koscielny or Bellerin are the defenders I'd want.
Don't forget about Nacho.
Yeah, or Nacho, the kind of underrated Nacho Monreal. No reason to underrate him other than just this idea. I mean, part of it, I think, is just that Kieran Gibbs used to start a lot, used to play a lot. And in my head, I still think of Monreal as a rotation risk because I think that he and Gibbs are going to be competing against each other. But, you know, clearly Monreal has totally
in that spot. For much of the first part of the season, Monreal was edging Bellerin out on points. But now, if I say you're wild carding, Monreal is at 5.9, where Bellerin is 6.1. I see no reason to go Bellerin over Monreal and save yourself a little money.
Yeah, I think I'm with you there.
I mean, I could see a few reasons, but nothing to split hairs over.
Yeah. So Ozil's 6 points in the last four games. Are you worried about Ozil? What were your thoughts?
Yeah, I am worried about him. I mean, I'm heavily invested in Ozil because I've had him since the start of the season. Bought him at 8.5. So I could sell and make some money.
You love money.
I do love money. I grub it. I dive around in my pit of gold coins. But Ozil has at least got a stay of execution because of Kevin De Bruyne's injury. And I do believe Ozil is among the most elite midfielders still, and he'll come good soon enough.
Are you at all concerned about your boy Rhys Oxford now that he has moved on to is it Charlton? I think. Speaking of transfers, are you concerned? I know technically you don't have to get rid of him, but are you worried about?
As of this recording, Rhys Oxford is no longer my problem. I mean, I don't want to say problem because it was nothing but a joy to have Rhys Oxford reside on my bench. Very nice young man, very clean, you know, never had a single bad thing to say. but with the money I have made swapping Paya in for Kevin De Bruyne, I made an easy swap and turned Rhys Oxford into Aaron Cresswell.
Oh, nice. Nice.
So that is like a Super Mario level eating of a mushroom by Rhys Oxford.
I like that a lot. And you kept it in the family, which I like. You stayed true to the Hammers.
I did. Yeah. I mean, as we mentioned, the incredible fixture run that West Ham has coming up, I've seen this bandied around the forums today. Aaron Cresswell is predicted to have the most points as a defender in game week 24.
I mean, home to Aston Villa, it's certainly a good shout, that's for sure. Yeah. And he's not too. I think he's still under 6 million, is he not? I think he's.
He's at 5.6.
5.6, a very, very fair price, especially given the run of fixtures and the fact that they're playing in game week 27. Okay, just to answer a couple questions here, Dave Wegner Lodal asks, With Sanchez's good-looking run out, how do we rank the Gunners' assets going forward? So we've already talked about it, I think, everyone else, but just to Ramsey, I think, is a player that most people are planning to move. I mean, I don't think we have to go too much into Ramsey. He's clearly not the asset you'd want on that team, or Walcott, or really anybody except for Ozil. But that said, Sanchez is someone that you know, especially with KDB out, I mean, you know, I think it's an interesting option. It's hard to say whether he'll just slot right in. I mean, I think he will. The thing about Sanchez that's interesting, though, is he's been kind of a streaky player this year.
He has. He never fully hit his stride early in the season. He had a couple great hauls, but then he got injured.
Had the three. So game week 7, 8, and 9, he scores 20, 16, and 10. From there on out, he scores 2-3, 2-2-4, and then he's been out for about 8 weeks, and he scores one point in 34 minutes, you know, at home to Chelsea. So I think the run of fixtures coming up for Arsenal is they're home to Southampton. He's playing much, much better at the moment. Then away to Bournemouth, home to Leicester, away to Man U, home to Swansea. So pretty good run of, I mean, pretty attractive run of fixtures, certainly if you, you know, for Arsenal defenders.
Yeah.
And they just, but they're so out of form from an attacking perspective that it's a little scary to bring anybody in.
That's really the disappointing thing about the Mertesacker red card is Giroud gets taken out. And I think if you're looking at any attacking options for Arsenal, Giroud was in many ways, the sexiest option. Mm-hmm. And he's taken out, and we don't get to see how he performs against Chelsea. But I still think if I were to drop Ozil for anyone, if I had to do going into game week 24, it would be for Giroud.
Yeah, I think that's fair. The only issue with Giroud is that he's not an especially explosive defender, if that's something you're looking for, if you need to, you know, if you're chasing a little bit in your league. He has 12 goals and 2 assists on the season, but he actually only has one double-figure point haul the whole season. That was the kind of wild away game to Liverpool last week, or 2 weeks ago. You know, but he's a very dependable, reliable scorer. I mean, he you know, certainly in this run of fixtures coming up, you'd expect him to score maybe 3 goals in those 5 games.
Right.
All right. So, Kim O'Neill, that's all we got to say about that. Kim O'Neill asks, Branislav Ivanovic, is he back to being the ultimate fantasy football defender?
I mean, based on this one game, that's the same old Ivanovic we know and love. I mean, I wouldn't say love. But it's the same old conversation we've been having about Chelsea the entire season. Can we base these opinions on one performance? And I think if we can say anything about Chelsea is that their defense is really picking up steam. But at 6.5, it's still insane. And I take Azpilicueta over Ivanovic still.
Yeah, I mean, 6.5 gets him... It's getting close. I mean, Azpilicueta, I guess his price is still at 5.7. You're still saving 0.8. There's certainly more of an attacking threat from Ivanovic the last, I don't know, like 6 game weeks, 1 goal and 3 assists. Yeah. And incredibly, all of his attacking points have come in the last the last 6 game weeks. I guess he was certainly one of the people who contributed to Mourinho getting the sack. And I know I can't wait till the book comes out about that, by the way. Like why a team of players who won the championship the season before decided not to try for the first like 15 weeks of the season.
Yeah, we'll call it the sack.
The sack. He's an interesting player. Costa, who sadly finished at the bottom of our rankings of strikers last week, had a pretty excellent game. Only picked up 6 points, which is a little surprising given that he had the game-winning goal and the only goal in the match.
It is strange. It is maybe it's minutes played coming down to it.
And he didn't
play
the full
67.
90. Yeah, and I think he is going to be okay for this weekend. There's a little bit of a doubt, but I think it's mostly been cleared up. So I think he is expected to play going forward. So, you know, an interesting differential option for sure. I don't think any of the fixtures coming up are that scary for him. Maybe the home match to Man United could be tricky, but away to Watford, home to Newcastle in his next 3, those look really solid to me. The midfield still seems a little too up in the air. There's no one that I would be who I find very appealing in that midfield.
It's such an abstract team from a fantasy perspective. I mean, this was Fabregas's big coming out party, and he has been 100% absent this entire season. Willian, who is the midfield darling, did nothing. So, yeah, I think it comes down to Costa or a defender that fits into your budget.
Yeah, I think so, too. All right, let's move on to a couple hot topics here, Brandon.
Hot topics.
First one is...
Hotter than this tea. Actually, this tea is kind of lukewarm at this point in the pod.
So, first one is KDB. We talked about him quite a bit already. Just to note, KDB comes on late in the League Cup match and has a goal and an assist. And the last goal, the game-winning goal is kind of a ludicrous goal because the ball was out of play, but the ref totally blew it and didn't call it out. Scores on a cross.
Yeah.
So it gets injured in extra time and is now out for what looks like about 10 weeks. So it creates a very interesting dilemma if let's say you already have Payet. You know, Payet is the obvious move for tons of reasons. Great fixtures coming up. Looks in great form. Probably should have had some attacking points in their home match to Man City. Looks dangerous, you know, the whole time he's on the pitch.
Yeah.
Firmino, we talked about a little bit as well, a streakier option. Alexis Sanchez, possibly explosive option, but super expensive. And, you know, we don't really know what his form is going to be like over the next few weeks. So it seems a little risky to spend that much money on Sanchez.
Yeah, I agree.
Which brings us to David Silva, who is maybe the perfect replacement.
I agree. And if you're looking to Man City to make the title challenge that everyone is expecting, he's going to be a big part of it.
quite a few really nice matches coming up. Doesn't play in game week 27, but you still have 3 game weeks to play him, and you can probably stash him on your bench if you don't have, unless you're like overloaded with Newcastle players or something. You should be able to, you should have 3 spots where you can slot him.
Yeah.
Away to Sunderland, home to Leicester, home to Tottenham. He could have attacking points easily in all 3 of those matches, and he's also cheaper than Kevin De Bruyne, so you'd save a little money there as well.
Yeah. Do we need to throw Christian Eriksen into this midfield discussion again?
Maybe. Honestly, if you don't have Dele Alli already, Dele Alli would be the player to bring in.
Yeah.
It's funny because the only reason we didn't even bring him up, I think, is because just subconsciously it's still hard to think of them in the same category because their starting price is so different.
Yeah.
But there's no reason not to just bring in Dele Alli and save $5 million. He's got 6 goals and 6 assists on the season. It plays the full 90 almost every match, or close to it anyway, between 75 and 90 minutes.
He seems to have brought under control his penchant for getting yellow cards every game as well.
That's true. Since I've owned him, I have not had a Dele Alli yellow.
Oh, maybe you're the yellow card cooler.
Still incredibly cheap at 5.7, and his ownership is, well, it's up to 23% now, which is fair. And anyone who saw that goal at the end of the Crystal Palace match had to be
requisite mention.
Yeah, exactly. What a great goal that was.
I mentioned this to you when we were speaking earlier in the week, that when that goal happened, I screamed some joyful obscenities at the television, and my wife in the other room was like, "Is he on your fantasy team?" And I had to sort of explain, it's not really a matter of, yes, he is on my fantasy team, but listen, it was just that good of a goal.
It really was.
It defied fantasy implications.
So we got the so we talked already about blanks, double game weeks. So just to say it once again, the blanks confirmed for game week 27 are Manchester City, Everton, Liverpool, and Newcastle. At the moment, I have only 2 players right now. I'm bringing in Aguero this week, so I guess I have 3 now. So I'll have 3 players from that lot, and I'll probably be dropping Lukaku at some point. I don't really like his fixtures that much after this home match to Newcastle. So I think he might be the first guy to go.
Yeah, I agree. I've got 3 as well. I'll be sitting with Aguero, Lukaku, and Henderson, and one of them will have to be jettisoned before that game week.
Yeah. So if you're already on 3 players, it's a little more dangerous to bring on a 4th or 5th player because you really, starting next week, really, you got to start moving these guys out before game week 27, yeah. If you want to field a full 11. And for me, I still have Ashley Westwood on my team, and I certainly don't want to be playing him. He's actually looked better, admittedly, for Estevao the last few weeks. But you're basically looking at a 2-pointer with Ashley Westwood. So
yeah.
I'm certainly trying to keep it. I would like to keep ideally like 2 players on the bench for those fixtures.
Right.
The question then is how soon are the double game weeks played? And as of this recording, it's Thursday night. We don't actually know when the double game weeks will be yet. Could be as early as game week 27. Probably it'll be something like game week 30, game week 31, around that time. So it's, you don't have to drop every player for game week 27. You want to keep a couple on the bench because otherwise you're just going to end up having to bring them in. I assume a lot of people will be wildcarding around that time too. I know that's definitely what I'm thinking about.
Yeah, I've usually burned through, we've all usually burned through our winter wild card by this time because it was required. But I'm not needing to really switch up my team a whole lot. So I'm just laying in wait with that wild card.
Yeah,
I'm thinking the same thing.
Yeah, same here. So, let's move on to a couple other quick points. Let's actually, by the way, we've totally gotten away from the Aguero slash thing, haven't we? I think we've said his name like 40 times.
Oh, that's fine.
So quickly, little bit of house cleaning here. Charlie Austin, we were right when we said that he would not start this game week. We were wrong in that we underestimated just how awesome Charlie Austin is. Charlie Awesome is really what he should be.
Charlie Awesome.
Let's just call him Charlie Awesome from here on out.
That's wonderful. I mean, he's most awesome when he's unmarked. Let's say that.
Charlie Awesome comes on late in that Man U match, scores a great goal, Now is probably going to start from here on out. I mean, maybe he's benched for one more, you know, maybe he comes to the bench for one more game because he gets back to match fitness. But I actually think it's unlikely given that we, you know, had this long break in between the match and the FA Cup. So he costs $7 million. He's owned by, you know, half a percentage of managers.
Yep. He's up to 0.7% now.
Up to 0.7 now. Is he someone you're thinking about? Does Charlie Austin intrigue you, Brandon?
I guess if you're, I guess now it's all geared toward game week 27. So my front lineup is Kane / and Lukaku. And I could see turning Lukaku into Charlie Awesome for game week 27.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, home to Chelsea, it's not the most appealing match.
No, yeah, that's true. You really burst my awesome bubble there.
Yeah, their fixtures in the next few weeks are they're just okay. They've been playing a lot better, but I, you know, our way to Arsenal, away to Swansea. I mean, given how much better Swansea look now, I'm not sure that's a super appealing match. They play Bournemouth, Sunderland, Stoke in game weeks 28 through 30. I guess those might be the ones where I try to bring him in, but I'm not licking my lips. I mean, at $7 million, he's kind of in a weird spot. You know, he's not a heavy hitter, and he's not a great low price option like Agallo. I mean, I don't know how you could really in good conscience argue Austin over Agallo at the moment, unless you really were just playing the differential game and you just wanted players who no one else owned, you know, and we're hoping that they, you know, hoping you strike gold.
Yeah, and I think that attacking chemistry that Southampton has had in the past with guys like Tadic and Mane, it's not really there at the moment. So it remains to be seen. I mean, so Charlie Awesome scores that goal off of a dead ball delivered by James Ward-Prowse. So great. He can definitely score a header off of a dead ball. But in-game, how is Austin going to look? With balls getting served to him by that midfield.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, I think, we don't really know because we've never seen Charlie Austin on a really solid team like this before.
Yeah.
It's fascinating. I mean, I really hope it goes great. He's just a player I personally like a lot, partially because he helped me win the league last year. And so I'm just win our personal mini league, I should say, not the overall league.
It was not a super league.
It was not a super league, but you know, still, you know, I captained him during a huge double game week around like game week 32 or 33,
and yeah. Are you
turned my whole season around?
How's that class you're teaching about that at West Point going? That famous double game week.
It's good. I'm actually taking over for Sir Alex Ferguson at Harvard in the summer, which I'm looking forward to.
That's incredible.
Yeah. So, okay, a couple questions here, Brandon. First one, and this actually ties in with Southampton. Now that Southampton started defending like an actual Premier League club, this is from Siraj Garish. Now that Southampton started defending like an actual Premier League club and seem to have found a winning formula, should we target Matt Target?
We've gone round and round about who Matt Target is actually slotted in for in that starting 11 in Southampton. Have you figured that one out yet?
It's still unclear to me. It's still one day we'll find out, but that day has not come yet.
They were making this point on the Football Ramble. I was listening to it this week about how having Fraser Forster back in the starting lineup has seemingly brought that much more confidence to their defense, and that might be one of the keys that's turned this defense around. And yeah. I'm guessing if I'm Ronald Koeman, I'm not going to fix it if it's not broken. And Matt Target has been delivering massive FPL hauls.
Yeah, three games, three clean sheets so far for Fraser Forster. Available at $4.8 million too, so kind of an interesting option for a wild card, possibly. I mean, that's a very fair value. That's cheaper than Jack Butland.
I'll tell you what. So when I brought in Aaron Cresswell for Reese Oxford, that canceled my ability to turn Ozil into Alexis Sanchez. Mm. Now I don't have quite enough money. So if Sanchez comes out guns blazing and I need to turn Ozil into Sanchez, I would consider turning David De Gea into Fraser Forster to get that cash.
Yep, that makes sense. That could be a very solid move.
Pretty handy.
Pretty handy. I think you could look at Southampton defenders, but the run of fixtures in the next few game weeks is not solid. I mean, Fraser Forster I think looking towards the late 20s or 30s, I think that's when I'd really want to target the Southampton defenders. You know, I don't know if I'd be looking to bring anyone in over the next three or four game weeks.
Yeah, pass.
If I didn't have him already. I have one. I have Van Dijk, and I'm planning to keep him now. It's amazing because he was like – he was on the chopping block for sure. And now he's, you know –
he's been a star player on both of our teams now. He's, one of the few reliable clean sheets these days.
Yeah.
But I think Matt Target is just so appealing budget-wise, and I would have faith that he's going to start in the short term.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah, so another great wild card player. Any interest in Adebayor? He comes in at $5.8 million.
Oh man, all these fascinating transfer targets now that we can look at, like Adebayor, Andres Townsend joining Newcastle. And now that we're big super fans of Major League Soccer, card-carrying NYCFC club members, Matt Miazga at our rival club, Red Bulls, New York Red Bulls, is possibly moving to Chelsea.
Yeah.
He's the central defender. I'm not captivated by any of these guys. Adebayor, he always comes in late at the season. He did this for Tim Sherwood, where he looked good. He has a great work ethic when he feels like the manager really backs him. Mm-hmm. So he could come in and score some goals for Crystal Palace. But you have to wait and see how he fits in.
Yeah, if he came in right away and played, I mean, he has no match fitness, so you think he wouldn't. But Bournemouth, Swansea, and Watford in the next three fixtures are great fixtures. The problem is that Crystal Palace played terribly the last three or four game weeks. And so, you're kind of banking on them turning around a little bit, which presumably they will. I mean, that whole group of defenders, like, I feel like they've been playing together for like 10 years.
Andros Townsend, though, joining up with Jonjo Shelvey, like this mighty midfield for Newcastle is starting to form. Does this give us any hope that Newcastle is going to pull out of the basement?
I mean, what has Townsend done, like, since he scored that great volley goal for QPR like 3 years ago? I mean, Townsend sucks. Like, he's not good. And, like, he's just going to keep getting transferred. He's going to, like, move to, like, eight teams over the next several years. Like, he's just going to move around. He's too selfish. You know, he's not a fun player to watch. Like, he scores wonder goals, and otherwise he's just, like, he's on the ball way too much.
It's like a Ravel Morrison type.
Yeah, he's like a worse Ross Barkley.
All right, so and that's a wait and see on Matt Miazga.
Wait and see on Matt Miazga. Okay, last question here. Uppercut Panda asks, should we start having as much faith in the West Brom defense as we do in the Spurs defense? Spurs always seem to find a way to concede the odd goal, and Ben Foster is back. So Uppercut Panda was on the last podcast, or we should say we had a question on the last podcast, and he advocated very strongly for West Brom, and we kind of dismissed him. You know,
we didn't
take it very seriously. And
that West Brom team is just so terrible right now. They can't score. I guess their defense is the only thing that can score for them, and they look so bad. But then they prove us wrong by getting a solid clean sheet.
Yeah, your boy Craig Dawson picks up a clean sheet and three bonus points in this match.
I know, yeah. He would be the guy I would pick up if I was shopping for West Brom defenders. He's always the bonus point magnet back there.
I will say, though, it's still a little – I think, you know, they're home to Swansea next week. Not a great fixture given the form that Swansea's in right now. I think that Swansea could definitely score in that match. Way to Newcastle, way to Everton. Neither one is a strong clean sheet opportunity, I don't think.
I agree. I would tentatively, if you absolutely have to move one of your defenders, maybe look at West Brom. But I don't see any reason to upend your current defensive lineup just to make room.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, so let's move on to the optimizer.
Oh, here we go. Let's strap in.
So kind of a weird – so last – we did a podcast a couple weeks ago where we looked at two game weeks at once, and it almost killed us. It was way too much.
Look at what happened to me. I can't even talk right now.
Exactly.
I'm still suffering the effects.
So we're just going to look at next week's game weeks, which we have the FA Cup matches this weekend. Not too much to say about those matches, mostly because a lot of the Premier League squads aren't playing particularly big matches. The only one really worth paying attention to is the Liverpool West Ham match, which is a late game on Saturday.
Yeah,
and you'll probably see the starters playing that one. You know, honestly, after Liverpool just played 120 minutes. I feel like I would, if I were a betting man, I would love to bet on West Ham for that FA Cup match. I think they're absolutely going to win that match.
Yeah, agreed. I'll be curious to see how Jurgen Klopp actually puts out a team there, knowing that his team played 120 minutes and they're going to have to come back and play. Let's see, do they play on Tuesday?
Yes, they play.
Yeah, so they play on Tuesday.
And they're in the cup final a couple weeks later, so there's no week off. Yeah, I think I would
got to rest some guys in this.
Yeah, I think he's kind of going to tank the FA Cup. I mean, they're already in a cup final. Like, that seems like plenty for them.
You can't win them all, Klopp. All right, the optimizer is now officially in full swing. So our first fixture is going to be Tuesday, Arsenal hosting Southampton. Now, Arsenal coming off of a terribly disappointing home match to Chelsea, looking to make amends. So here, for me, the most compelling assets are going to be defensive, because as we've said, it's hard to say where Arsenal's attacking points are really coming from right now. Maybe this will be a good match for Sanchez to come back into our sights, but it would be easy to predict a clean sheet for Arsenal here, unless Charlie Awesome has something to say.
Yeah, it's not a great matchup for Arsenal, given that they're really in need of a rebound, and they're playing a Southampton team that is really, they've seemed to figure something out. I don't, you know, I maybe it is Matt Target. I don't know if Charlie Austin is the factor. Whatever it is, they look like a completely different team than they did a month ago or 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, total turnaround. I think given the way Arsenal tend to play around this time of year, this to me is like a 1-1 draw. I don't see a lot of goals here from Arsenal. I agree with you about the Arsenal midfielders and the attackers. I mean, maybe Giroud gets a goal, but I do think Southampton will probably score too. I mean, I'm still planning to start Bellerin in this match, but I'm not feeling very confident about it.
Yeah, I've written down my clean sheet picks, and I just didn't have the courage to actually full-on pick Arsenal for a clean sheet here for exactly those reasons. So on we go to the next fixture.
Yep. Next fixture is Leicester hosting Liverpool. Leicester on the rebound, finally. Leicester has no FA Cup ties. We'll have probably much-needed week and a half to rest. And they'll be playing a Liverpool team that seems to play a match, like an important match, every 3 days or so. And so they'll be recovering from the League Cup semi and a very tough Saturday evening fixture, versus West Ham. So I think that Leicester wins this game like 2-1 or 3-1. And, I'm not sure who – the goals seem to be coming from a more diverse group of players over the last few game weeks for Leicester. But
yeah, Danny Drinkwater getting in on the action. And Okazaki.
Yeah, it's true. So 3-1 and maybe an Okazaki goal.
I'm kind of bummed to not have Mahrez going into this match, I'll be honest with you. So we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see how that one works out. Yeah, he looked much, much better in this match. I mean, I don't know if he had to lose the third. He had to miss his third penalty this season to, like, complete the weird penalty trifecta or something, and now he's, like, back to normal. But
I feel like you watched him grow back into it during the course of that match, too.
And he got the lucky assist. I mean, maybe, you know, sometimes it takes a little luck, you know. It's like when a striker gets a penalty or something, and, you know, it's just a chance to put the ball in the net and have it matter. And so he had that, what was kind of like more of probably a shot than a pass, but Ojoa picked it up and scored, and suddenly Mahrez is back in the assist again.
Yeah, I mean, he's taking players one-on-one, nutmegging guys, stuff he was doing in game week one. So that's a good sign.
Norwich Spurs is the next match. And if you were not going to captain Slash for this game week, I think that Harry Kane is a fantastic captain choice on the road to Norwich.
I'm super tempted to edit in the guitar solo from November Rain every time we say Slash, which would make this podcast like 5 hours instead of 3 hours.
It would be cool if we called him like the symbol or something, you know, like Prince.
I agree. Yeah, if I didn't have Aguero, I'd be captaining Kane here. Norwich
look. Slash, you mean?
Yes, yeah, Slash, exactly. The scratchy throat is really killing my guitar solo.
It's the saddest air guitar ever.
But yeah, I'm going full bore Spurs here in this game. Now, this is something we haven't actually touched upon, speaking of Spurs, is that Jan Vertonghen is now out. My question is, do we think Eric Dyer is going to slot back into that central defense? Because I had some concerns with Dyer getting subbed out at the 55th minute over the weekend and was looking to target him to get him out of my lineup.
Yeah.
But I have to like any Spurs defender here against Norwich.
Is he he's the logical center back replacement, right? I mean, I think Rose, Davies, Trippier, they're all fullbacks, right?
Yeah. They have this signing Kevin Vimmer.
Right.
Who I guess could be the other option.
Yeah, let's put it in the too early to tell category.
Yeah.
Next fixture we have Sunderland hosting Man City.
Undeniable. Going to put the armband on Slash. Mm-hmm. Going to rock out that... there we go. That's what I'm looking for. I mean, it's all Man City going into this fixture. I mean, Patrick Van Aanholt, is he going to score his third straight goal bombing down the wing? Maybe.
Maybe. So let's say 4-1 sounds about right to me.
Yeah, fantastic. How many of those for Slash?
Three for Slash.
Okay.
And an hat assist.
He's due a hat trick.
He's due a hattie. West Ham host Aston Villa.
Okay. As I've mentioned, this has been the source of all of my transfer activity today. Brought in Payet and Cresswell. So I have big hopes for West Ham here.
I mean, on paper, this, even with Aston Villa playing a little bit better, on paper, this is just a great fixture for West Ham. And I think Payet, let's go ahead and put him, let's give Payet a goal and an assist in this match.
Oh, fantastic. I'll take it.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's go, like a 12 pointer for our buddy Payet. Crystal Palace host Bournemouth in the next fixture.
Gosh, I mean, I have no idea what to say. Crystal Palace is a crazy team. I don't know if Adebayor is going to start. it's uncertain where Crystal Palace goals are coming from.
I don't have any players in this match, and this to me might be the week's pure watch.
Yeah, fantastic. I'm not going to start Stanislas just for that reason.
I feel like we should clarify, by the way, that they pure watch as defined by us in our unwritten rule book of what a peer watch is. We need a book, don't we, Brandon? The always cheating guide to fantasy Premier League.
We do.
That was the word. I was like, well, maybe I'll come up with a snappy title as I say it. And I was like, nope, it's just literally no humor at all. Just
it does what it says on the box.
That's right.
I think that's a great title.
So a peer watch to me is a match that has no fantasy implications for me nor for most people in the league. So yeah. I didn't have any players in the Norwich-Liverpool match, but enough people have Liverpool players in particular that I felt a certain investment in that game that was not pure, right? I was rooting for goals to be conceded against Liverpool because a lot of people still have Alberto Moreno or others.
Yeah, so, similarly watching for me the Watford-Swansea game a couple weeks ago, that was a pure watch, but I was still secretly hoping that Igalo wasn't going to score any goals just to keep those managers down.
Exactly. But I think that the assets are under-owned enough in this match that Crystal Palace Bournemouth, I think, is the one true pure watch for this game week.
Yeah, there can only be one.
Man United host Stoke. Oh, by the way, the Crystal Palace game, let's call that like a 0-0 draw.
Fantastic. Sounds exciting.
Yeah, it does. Man United, Stoke. Man United, so disappointing.
Such a garbage team.
I'm sure the players are stunned. They're like, we've quit on our manager. We have given up on him. We are not trying anymore. Like, what is it going to take to get this guy fired? Like, maybe it'll turn around and just give him. They're like, all right, I guess we'll just try again. Like, not caring is not working.
Yeah, they saw it worked at Chelsea. Why isn't it working there at United? I think maybe because the boardroom is out to lunch.
Wayne Rooney is playing his ass off right now. Really looks solid. I did not transfer him in as I debated doing in the last game week.
Yeah, and David De Gea is in scorching form as well still, and I'm probably going to start him this weekend.
It's just a weird – I mean, it's just that the sum is not greater than the parts. I mean, you look at – you can kind of go down the line with that team, and and see a lot of things that you really like, you know. But it's just the midfield is the mess, really. And honestly, the back line is a bit of a mess too. I mean, all these reconstituted players, you know, these midfielders playing as fullbacks, you know, it's very strange.
No goals for United here, so it's either going to be a 0-0 draw or Stoke's going to pull it off.
Let's keep it going, but 0-0, two in a row.
So it could be a wash if I start De Gea and Glenn Johnson here, but one of them's going to get me a clean sheet, if not both.
What about West Bromwich Albion and Swansea? The last fixture on Tuesday.
Yeah, well, for our friend Uppercut Panda, I fear to say that Swansea just look to be relishing that new manager bounce, and a goal will be forthcoming for the Swans.
Yeah, I think so too. I think this is a 1-0 Swansea win. Although yep. I will say, I think that West Brom could play a little bit better with Ben Foster. Maybe you have to really follow a team closely to understand how much of a difference the goalkeeper makes to the team. Like I have a pretty because I'm an Arsenal supporter, I can tell. Like, it's pretty clear to me what the difference that Peter Cech has made to that team, because yeah. I, you know, just the way he organizes the defense and the way he defends corners, the way he can handle one-on-one shots for that matter,
right.
You know, totally different. But like, I don't really know how much, like, the difference between Myhill and Ben Foster, right? It's very hard for me as someone who watches, like, to be honest, I don't even watch a ton of West Brom matches, right? I mean, so
why would you?
Yeah, so it's hard to know what kind of difference he'll make to that team. I know that Ben Foster is a world-class goalkeeper, would probably be the starter for the England national team. Well, actually, Jack Butland probably has taken his spot now, but for a long time, Ben Foster
would have been Joe Hart's replacement.
Yeah, Ben Foster was the number two guy for a long time, though.
Yeah.
Still a great keeper. And so, anyway, I do think, however, Swansea will score in this match. So I'm going to predict a 1-0 Swansea win.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one.
Okay, Everton. So it brings us to the two Wednesday fixtures. Really a front-loaded fixture list this time. So the two fixtures on Wednesday are Everton-Newcastle. The reason I'm keeping Lukaku, the reason I brought in Ross Barkley for this match.
Yeah, you would believe that they're going to have a field day here. Against Newcastle, though Jonjo Shelvey is their new field marshal, but Lukaku will score,
and we know that they'll concede some goals as well. So let's go with the 3-2 Everton, or 3-2 Everton win seems about right.
We still do owe a bunch of tacos to everybody for what was the guarantee that you made?
Yeah, I know. I think I guaranteed that Chelsea would keep a clean sheet at home to Newcastle. Is that right?
Okay. So let's go double or nothing with those tacos. And
okay.
We're guaranteeing that Romelu Lukaku will score a goal here.
All right, that sounds – I'll take that bet. Let's do it. Double or nothing. Everyone gets two tacos if we're wrong.
Or you can upgrade to an enchilada. One enchilada.
Final match of the game week, Watford hosting Chelsea. Pretty close to a pure watch as well, to be honest. Although, as you said, enough people own a Gallo that it takes it out of the equation a little bit.
Yeah, but this should be a fun match. Watford has a lot to play for, as does Chelsea. They're kind of neck and neck in the table as it is.
Also, this watch is not purely pure because I will be aggressively rooting against Chelsea in this match and really pulling for Watford. So
it for any particular reason?
Just screw Chelsea.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm sick of all. I like, you know, like, it's just the same. I'm just sick of them. This is not like, I mean, they're you know, like, it's. I feel the same way about Chelsea that I do about my fantasy team this year. I'm just sick of them. I want everyone gone. I want the season to be over. I want to start fresh next year. You know, it's just it's all the badness has gone on for too long. And it's a dirty watch, Brandon. There's nothing pure about this watch.
It's a dirty watch. Fair enough. Yeah, I'll be pulling for Watford as well. And I really think that they can do it. They're playing at home.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's predict a 2-1 Watford win.
Fantastic.
I like it. All right, good. So we got through it pretty fast, I'd say.
Not too bad.
Not too bad.
I'm stopping the stopwatch right now. It's not our longest.
And you sound better already. Maybe you talked yourself out of it.
I do. All this talk about fantasy just makes me feel healthier, makes me feel wiser, mm-hmm. makes me feel like a better person.
Yep.
Speaking of being a better person, I think you should all subscribe to the Always Cheating Podcast on iTunes or find us on SoundCloud. And if you fancy it, please write us a review. That'd be great. And you can also find us all over social media, right, Josh?
That's right. We're at Hail Cheaters. On Twitter, we're facebook.com/alwayscheating on Facebook. And you can email us at hailcheaters@gmail.com.
Fantastic. Well, thanks for taking over hosting duties today, Josh. I'm going to get myself well again for next week.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah, it's a little rough, Brandon.
Now, I guess we'll be podcasting similar time later in the week so we can take into account the midweek fixtures.
Yeah, maybe we'll try to make it like a little, like a 30-minute, like, game week preview, you know, something like that.
A lightning pod.
Yeah, lightning pod. All right, Brandon, well, I have a couple things to say to you that I wanted to get off my chest for a while now.
Oh, wow, let's take it offline then.
No, I want everyone to hear it, actually.
Oh, okay, I'm listening.
First thing is praise Poku.
Oh, hail Poku.
Yeah, and second thing is hail cheaters.
Poku forever. Talk to you soon, Josh.
Talk to you soon, Brandon.
Bye.